Good morning, everyone in the sanctuary and those who are worshiping at home. And today's sermon is entitled Abide Under the Shadow of the Almighty. The year 2020 has been a disastrous and challenging year. Many people, even believers in Christ, in most countries are living in anxiety and fear, even in Australia. Australia suffered catastrophic bushfires which began in June last year, 2019, and peaked in December and January this year. These bushfires caused injuries and loss of human lives, destruction to endangered wildlife, buildings and environment, disruption to jobs, businesses and the economy, and strains on hospitals and government's budgets. Half of Kangaroo Island was destroyed by bushfires, and the tourism industry was in ruin. Air quality in the capital cities was affected, in fact, even worse than those experienced in other polluted cities of the world. The bushfires have burned a total area of 186,000 square kilometres, equivalent to 8 times the size of the nation of Israel, and costed the nation more than $4.4 billion and more than the cost of the 2009 Black Saturday bushfires. Then damaging storms on the 12th and 13th of December 2019 caused floods in Brisbane and the Gold Coast. And in January this year, a devastating storm struck the ACT and parts of Victoria and New South Wales, and with losses estimated at $320 million. More damaging storms and floods continued till early February. While the nation is rebuilding, the worst is yet to come. That came in the form of a virus, the coronavirus disease, COVID-19. This highly contagious disease is caused by a strain of coronavirus in humans, which first appeared in Wuhan City in Hubei Province, China, at the end of 2019. No one ever thought that this virus would soon cripple the whole world. COVID-19 has since spread to most countries, including Australia. The numbers of those infected and those who died have increased alarmingly. This pandemic has resulted in a severe world recession. First detected in Victoria on the 26th of January 2020, this COVID-19 pandemic has caused the whole country to introduce measures like international and interstate travel bans, state border closures, restrictions on gatherings and social distancing. Even in our church, we cannot have corporate worship and gatherings for Bible study, meetings, and fellowship activities. Instead, we have to use modern technologies such as Facebook, Zoom, and Skype. This pandemic is even affecting businesses, millions of jobs, the economy of this country, and in the rest of the world. It forces governments to introduce expensive stimulus measures to prop up the economy. The effects of COVID-19 are far worse than the effects of the bushfires and floods. It is like World War III, but this war involves an invisible, destructive, and infectious army. The destruction caused by the bushfires and floods is not comparable to that of COVID-19 pandemic. The COVID-19 pandemic is worse, with far-reaching effects and consequences. The whole world is in a very dire situation, especially with this pandemic. There is concern, fear, and anxiety because of its highly infectious nature. Even believers in the Lord Jesus are affected. There is even panic, even in this country, especially of all things, panic buying of toilet paper, paper tissues, and hand sanitizers, which became valuable assets better than oil, gold, and silver. We live in the end times. We are in an era very similar to the times of Judges 3,500 years ago, when, according to Judges chapter 17, verse 6, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Amen. Good becomes or is called evil, and evil becomes or is called good. Many believers are backslidden, and many are falling into apostasy. Church attendances are falling, preachers are not preaching true gospel, and people are turning to false religion and mammon. The Apostle Paul warns in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Amen. The Lord Jesus, just before his arrest and subsequent crucifixion, says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in our diverse places." We have seen wars between nations. We have seen severe droughts and famines which we had never seen before. There are more and more powerful and destructive earthquakes and cyclones. We are getting more pestilences such as AIDS, Ebola virus, SARS, Zika virus, and now COVID-19. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 8, "All these are the beginning of sorrows." What we are seeing and experiencing are just like a full-term pregnant woman experiencing uterine Braxton Hicks contractions, which are a prelude to actual labor. The end is not here yet, but it's coming very soon. All these happenings are scary and alarming. They cause much anxiety and uncertainty even amongst believers. We all live in a broken and sinful world. All this was the result of Adam's fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The first man was Adam. The second man was the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Adam, we face death. But in Christ Jesus, we are made alive. Hence, if we know, believe, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, to have close fellowship with Him, we have no fear, but have hope, peace, and joy, even in the face of calamities. How do we deal with the calamities that are upon us? What should be our attitude, and how do we deal and behave in the face of any calamity, especially with this COVID-19 pandemic? Should we worry unnecessarily or panic? Should we react and behave like non-believers? To help believers of the Lord Jesus to get through this in a rational way, I would like to share with you an encouraging message taken from Psalm 91, which I have entitled, "Abide Under the Shadow of the Almighty." There are four main points from Psalm 91. Firstly, the psalmist's declaration in verses 1 and 2. Secondly, the psalmist's explanation of what God will do to those who are in close fellowship with Him, verses 3 to 8. And thirdly, the psalmist's explanation of the conditions for God's protection of those in close fellowship with Him, verses 9 to 12. And finally, the psalmist's revelation of God's promises for those in close fellowship with Him, verses 14 to 16. For today, I will cover the first two main points, and the last two main points will be next Lord's Day. I will begin with the first main point, the psalmist's declaration. Let us read Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Amen. The psalmist declares that every believer is under God's protection in verse 1. The psalmist begins with the third pronoun, he, which refers to everyone who is a believer. He, or everyone, is one who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The word dwelleth means sitting, and gives an idea that anyone who sits in the secret place is sitting down in peace as one who lives in his own dwelling. He sits in calmness and in peace in the secret place. The Hebrew word for secret place is translated as shelter in the New International Version. This secret place or shelter is of the Most High, where God the Most High abides. This gives an idea of one's home situated in the temple of God and of sitting in that sacred place. Everyone who sits calmly and peacefully in the shelter where God dwells shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word abide means he shall lodge at a place where he makes it his home. In his home, he will be under the shadow of the Almighty, that is, God's protection. This illustrates, as Albert Vance, a 19th century American theologian, puts it, I'm quoting, the blessedness of the man who thus dwells with God, who makes him, that is referring to God, his friend, who makes the home of God his home, unquote. The psalmist declares that everyone who sits calmly and peacefully in the shelter where God dwells shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that is God's protection. Then the psalmist declares his own faith in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Amen. He declares what his God is like. This God is his refuge, meaning a protective sanctuary, and his fortress, meaning a fortified place that no enemy could get in. As God is his refuge and his fortress, he is well protected. This God is his, as illustrated by my God. The psalmist has a personal relationship with God, illustrated by my refuge, my fortress, my God. He knows and loves God. He trusts Him. In other words, the psalmist has a close relationship or fellowship with Him. The psalmist's declaration in Psalm 91 verse 2 is equivalent of the Apostle Thomas' declaration in John chapter 20. Thomas refused to believe that the disciples had seen the resurrected Jesus. And he demanded in John chapter 20 verse 25, "Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Amen. When the Lord appeared again, Thomas was present in verse 26. The Lord said to him, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing," in John chapter 20, verse 27. On seeing the resurrected Lord in person, Thomas believed and declared, "My Lord and my God," in verse 28. The Lord Jesus is not just Lord and God, but His own Lord and His own God. The Lord Jesus is now Thomas' personal Lord and God. From this, there are questions we have to ask ourselves. Are we believers of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? If we are, Can we declare that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and our God? If the Lord Jesus is our Lord and our God, then can we make this declaration as in verse 2? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. If we do, then we know, love and trust Him. We have then a close fellowship or relationship with Him. Then the promises of this psalm are for us. Let us consider the promises in these two verses. There are four word images to consider. In verse 1, secret place and shadow. And in verse 2, refuge and fortress. When we have a close fellowship with God, we belong to Him. Then He will be our secret place and shadow and our refuge and fortress. Next, we consider the four names of God. In verse 1, the Most High and the Almighty. In verse 2, the Lord and my God. When we, like the psalmist, recognize the Most High and the Almighty God as our God and our Lord, that is, in close fellowship with Him, then the secret place, shadow, refuge, and fortress are for those who do dwell in God and trust Him. Quoting from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, quoting, the blessings here promised are not for all believers, but for those who live in close fellowship with God. Every child of God looks towards the inner sanctuary and the mercy seat. Yet all do not dwell in the most holy place. They run to it at times and enjoy occasional approaches, but they do not habitually reside in the mysterious presence. Unquote. Therefore, the promised blessings in this psalm are not for all believers, but for those who are in close fellowship with God, and therefore for those who are doers of His words, not hearers only, as in James chapter 1, verse 22. What are we like? How do we treat God? This is what we are all like. We go to God when we need help. We become exemplary in our worship attendances, active in Bible study and fellowship meetings, daily prayers, missions, outreaches, and other church work when we face important exams, when our relationships or businesses are failing, when we are desperate for a job, when we are told we have a serious illness, when we are discriminated or persecuted. When our needs are met, we go back to our indifferent old ways. This is not what God wants of us. So, when we say we believe in God and His Son, do we live and walk in close fellowship with the Almighty God? Do we dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Do we abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Can we declare and say to God what the psalmist says? He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. Do we declare and do what the psalmist says? In Him will I trust. Do we trust God enough to put all our security, concerns, cares, and anxiety and worries to Him? The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, promises us these comforting words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Do we believe in the Lord's promises? This is what we have to consider. The psalmist declares that we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that is God's, under God's protection. But we must also declare that God is our refuge and our fortress, and in this God we will trust. After the psalmist's declaration of his faith in God, he then explains to us in 6 verses what God will do for anyone in close relationship with him. We come to the second main point, which is the psalmist's explanation of what God will do to those in close fellowship with him. Let us turn to Psalm 91 verses 3-8. Let us read together. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Amen. In these verses, the singular you is used. Thee in verse 3, thee, thou, and thy in verse 4, thou in verse 5, thy and thee in verse 7, and thine and thou in verse 8. Why is the singular you used? In these 6 verses, there are listed the truths of what God will do for each person individually. That is, you and you, who are in close fellowship with him. That is, who knows, loves, and trusts him. Let us begin with verse 3. Surely, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Amen. God will deliver us from 2 kinds of dangers. Firstly, from the snare of the fowler. The snare is a trap for catching birds or animals. It is a trap of the fowler. A fowler is a hunter of wild fowl, which refers to a game bird such as a wild duck, goose, a quail, or swan. That means, quoting from Albert Barnes, quoting, God will save him from the purposes of wicked people, such purposes as might be compared with the devices employed to catch birds, unquote. If we have close fellowship with God, he will deliver us from the evil purposes of the wicked. But he will also deliver us, secondly, from the noisome pestilence. The word noisome means horrible or fatal. God will save us from this type of pestilence, such as the plague, disease, virus, pandemic, or epidemic that causes death. God can prevent the pestilence from harming us, or while others are dying around us and the pestilence has affected us, he can save us from its terrible consequences. Quoting from Albert Barnes again, quoting, this promise is not to be understood as absolute, or as meaning that no one who fears God will ever fall by the pestilence. For good people do die at such times, as well as bad people. But the idea is that God can preserve us at such a time, and that is a great law. He will be thus the protector of those who trust him. Unquote. Those who are in close fellowship with God are consistently delivered from such perils, and he will continue to do so until he takes us home to him. God will definitely deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence in verse 3. But how would God do it? We turn to verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. God will protect us. There are 2 interesting symbols of God's protection. Firstly, in the first part of verse 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust." Amen. It describes a mother bird giving shelter and protection to her young. The Lord Jesus depicted this image to himself in Matthew 23, verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Amen. The Lord Jesus would have saved Jerusalem and her inhabitants and provided them with shelter and protection, but the people would not come to him. They would not dwell in the secret place of the Most High, nor abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Instead, they crucified the Savior who had wanted to save them. If we are in close fellowship with God and His Son, we will be protected like a mother hen covering us with her feathers, giving us shelter and protection. Secondly, God will protect us by His truth, which shall be thy shield and buckler. This image describes a soldier's protective gear or armor ready for combat. Albert Barnes comments, quoting, "The meaning is that his pledge or promise will be unto them as the shield of the soldier is to him in battle." The word rendered buckler is derived from the verb to surround, and is given to the defensive armor here referred to because it surrounds and thus protects a person. Unquote. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, God spoke to Abraham. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." In this context, Abraham, known as Abram then, had just returned from his victories over the kings who plundered Sodom and Gomorrah, and rescuing his nephew Lot, the women and possessions. Abraham was at risk of retaliatory attacks by these kings, but God said to him that there was nothing to worry. God would be Abraham's shield, giving protection. God would be his exceeding great reward. If we have a close fellowship with God or relationship with God, He will protect us like a hen with wings over us, and also by His truth, which is a shield and buckler like a soldier in protective armor. The psalmist reveals that God will protect us in other dangerous situations. Verse 5. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." Amen. Let us consider the first part. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. The terror by night refers to terrible situations at night where there is fear or unease, like an unexpected and sudden attack, as in intrusion of enemies, fire, storms, murders, home invasion, or threats, or sudden onset of disease or pestilence. I heard a story from a pastor who heard, in turn, this story from missionaries working among idol worshippers in northern Thailand. They related a story of a group of young believers trekking through the dense tropical jungles at night on their way to a prayer meeting. They heard not the familiar animal or bird noises, but weird and frightening demonic sounds that threatened them. It was their terror by night. When they reached their destinations, they told their terrible experiences to the missionaries. They were so scared, but they trusted that the Lord would protect them. They were unharmed. If we have close fellowship with Him, we shall not be afraid, because He will protect us in these situations. He will protect us from any calamity. In the second part, the psalmist says that God will protect us from the arrow that flieth by day. Deuteronomy 32 verse 23 says, I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. Amen. The arrows of God refer to the judgment of God by pestilence, famine, and swords. They are referred to as arrows because they come abruptly without warning, move quickly, and attack with precision. Such targeted and accurate arrows are ordered, focused, and sent by God. For those who are in close fellowship with God and under His shadow of protection, they need not fear and will be calm when God fires those arrows of judgment against the wicked and godless. Further, God also protects us from danger that is immediately around us. In verse 6, we read this, Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Amen. When we are in close fellowship and relationship with God, He will also deliver us from the pestilence that walketh in darkness and the destruction that wasteth at noonday. The words, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, does not mean the pestilence or plague that comes in the night. Instead, it refers to the threat that seems to creep in at night, and we cannot anticipate when or to whom it will affect, and we cannot monitor its development. It behaves in a mysterious way, in that it will strike like an enemy that unexpectedly and suddenly attacks at night. The person will be well one moment, and then within a few minutes or hours be rendered sick and even be dying. That is what the coronavirus that is spreading throughout the world is like. From such a pestilence, God will deliver us. God will also deliver us from the destruction that wasted at noonday. The Hebrew word used for destruction actually means a cutting off, or destruction so terrifying as in the destroying storm described in Isaiah chapter 28 verse 2. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which is as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Amen. It describes a devastating destruction like in a cyclone, tornado, tsunami, or some event that is even worse than that. This destruction also includes consequences of a communicable pestilence as described in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 24. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poisons of serpents of the dust. Amen. Therefore, this destruction may apply to any major disasters that carry people away, whether it be tempest, warfare, pestilence such as the plague or virus pandemic, or famine. In contrast to the pestilence that walketh in darkness, this destruction is one that wasted at noonday. Now, that wasted at noonday means that the destruction will be open and visible. God will deliver us from this, quoting from Albert Barnes. This meaning is that whenever or in whatever form calamity comes which sweeps away the race, whether at midnight or at noon, whether in the form of pestilence, war or famine, he who trusts in God need not and will not be afraid. He will feel either that he will be preserved from its ravages, or that if he is cut off, he has nothing to fear. He is a friend of God, and he has a hope of a better life. In death and in the future world, there is nothing of which he should be afraid. Unquote. So anyone who has close fellowship with the Lord will abide under the shadow of the Almighty and be delivered from the pestilence that walketh in darkness and the destruction that wasteth at noonday. God also protect us from our surroundings. Verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. The phrase in verse 7, the first part of verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, refers to the thousands who fall on either side of those who trust God. It could be the invisible contagion that is spreading from person to person, or it could be an impending threat or dangerous incidents. No matter how many fall around us, whether on the right or on the left, verse 7b, the second part of verse 7, reassures us, but it shall not come nigh thee. We are safe because God has promised us of His divine protection. Let me relate you a true story. Many years ago, a family took their 6-week-old baby girl to Brown Hill Creek for a picnic lunch. The husband parked his car right under a huge tall gum tree. After they were settled and about to eat, the husband had this strong urge to shift his car. He shifted his car forward a few meters. After they were settled down to eat, they heard a loud crash. A huge branch fell on the spot where the car was previously parked. If he had not shifted the car, the huge branch would have wiped his car off. So verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Apart from protecting and delivering his people in verse 8, the psalmist reveals what God will do to those in close fellowship with him, as a witness of what he would do to the wicked. Verse 8 reads, "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." Amen. Protected from any danger, disaster, or pestilence, and with thanksgiving, believers who are in close fellowship with God will witness or see with their own eyes how he would deal and observe the reward of the wicked. That is the vengeance of God upon the ungodly, wicked people. In this case, the death of thousands is due to God's punishment for sin. I must stress that God does not promise, quoting from James Montgomery Boyce, quoting, that those who trust will never die of disease or even military conflict, but that they will not suffer those or any calamities as God's judgment against them for their sin. Their sin has been atoned for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Unquote. The psalmist explains what God will do for us when we are in close fellowship with Him. Next, the psalmist explains that there are conditions for God's protection and reveals that there are God's promises for those in close fellowship with Him. This I will touch on next week. In our current situation, with frightening happenings around us, which we have no control, believers are anxious, worried, fearful, under duress, and our faith in God is profoundly tested. While it is a distressing time, and we are right to be anxious about it, we must look at the whole picture and have a balanced view of it. We must not be overly anxious and fearful, forgetting that we have a God who has asked us to have faith in Him. We must not be too fearful to the point that we betray our own testimony about our faith. God is sovereign and has control over things He had created. Our time on earth is ordained by God. Our time of birth, our death, has already been fixed by Him. He has the keys of hell and death, as in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. If we are not to suffer any ill effects or die from any calamities, that means our time has not come. In the meantime, while we are facing difficulties and the unknown, let us seek comfort in the Word of God in Psalm 91. In this psalm, like the psalmist, we must declare our confession and faith in God. We must take note of what God will do for us when we trust Him. He will protect and deliver us from danger. put our confession and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ into action. Take a good look at ourselves. Are we seeking the Lord when we are faced with danger? Do we love God and acknowledge His name, call upon Him and seek satisfaction in what He alone can provide, or do we seek satisfaction from this world? These are questions we have to ask ourselves when we are faced with difficulties and danger. Remember, only God can be trusted. May God bless you. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we are anxious and fearful of what is happening around us, especially with COVID-19 pandemic. Lord, we pray that Thou protect our health professionals who are exposed to patients and they're caring for their patients. Protect each one of us here in this congregation, in our church, and all the believers from this pandemic. We are helpless, and we seek Thy help to overcome our fears and anxiety. May this message from Psalm 91 give us encouragement and increase our faith in Thy promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.